Proverbs chapter 10, we'll be looking at verses 19 through 21 and verses 31 through 32. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. And then verses 31 and 32. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Let's pray again and ask God's help. Father, we confess that unless you come and help us by your Spirit, that today is in vain. The time we spend meditating on your word and thinking is in vain. And so, Lord, we confess to you, we need you. We need your Spirit. We pray, Holy Spirit, you would come among us in power, that you would apply this word to our lives. God, in all ways that we need to hear from you, that our hearts need to be changed, that our minds need to be changed, that you need to wash our mouths out with the Spirit of God. We pray that you would do that, Lord. And we pray that you would change us and make us a more humble and loving and kind people with our words. So change our hearts, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen. It's very easy when you come to church on Sunday to be kind with your mouth and say nice things, nice greetings, hello, how are you, and speak those niceties. It's very easy to do that when we're singing. It's very easy to have words of praise to God come out of your mouth. In some sense, it's very easy as I preach to speak the words of God and quote the Scripture. But what's hard is during the week when you're alone and something happens that you don't like, and then to then speak kind words, humble words, loving words. And so I often tell people I'm much more impressed by the Spirit's work in my own life or anyone else's life, not particularly by certain words spoken when it's easy, maybe on a Sunday morning, but when the whole world's against you and people are cursing you and doing all manner of evil against you, and yet sweet blessings come out of your mouth. Love comes out of your mouth. Oh, I want us to be a church where that happens. Yeah, where that happens. I'm more concerned with that happening than niceties on Sunday morning. And so we're studying words today. Again, we're looking at our mouths and what God says about words in Proverbs. And the sobering cry for us from Jesus has been Matthew 12, 34 through 36. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. And again, I hope that lands on you. It lands on me. Makes you want to do this. We want to be careful with our words. And these Proverbs are instructing us on how to be careful with our speech. And we're seeing Christ in Proverbs. I hope that you're noticing Christ in the Proverbs. We see He is the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom of God. We're seeing Christ who lived out God's wisdom perfectly. We're seeing Him as our example of how to live. We're hearing His teaching. As He inspired, as the second person of the Trinity inspired the Proverbs, we're hearing Him teach us. And as believers in the Lord Jesus, we have His Spirit dwelling in us that we might live for Him. We see Christ in the Proverbs. And we do take Jesus Christ as our example. Don't ever let anyone tell you that we ought not to take Jesus as our moral example. We ought to. What would Jesus do is a good question to ask before you do anything. 1 Peter 2:21, where Peter is teaching by inspiration of the Holy Spirit on how we as Christians should endure suffering in a faithful way, writes this: For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps. And so just as Christ suffered well, we're to follow His example in suffering, we're to follow in His steps, and in all of His life, we're to follow Him. We're to imitate others who follow Him as they imitate Christ, the Word of God says. But in thinking of taking Christ as our example, we need to remember the words of Sinclair Ferguson. He said this: before we take Jesus as our example, we must take Him as our Savior. Before we take Him, or even can, before we even have the ability to take Jesus as our example, we must take Him as our Savior, who purchased us, who shed His blood and bought us on that cross. And we see this in 1 Peter as well, 2:24. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. And so as we look at the Proverbs, I want those themes to be going over and over in your mind. Taking Christ as example, taking Christ as teacher, as we hear from Him, taking Christ as Savior, who perfectly lived out the Proverbs and died as counted as a fool and rose from the dead that we might be forgiven, and having the Spirit of Christ dwell in us to empower us to live out the Proverbs. And I'm going to be going over that over and over and over and over again. You might even get tired of me going over that. Why is he said that in the other proverb? Well, he's going to say it again and again and again and again. And he's going to keep saying it throughout the whole book of Proverbs. And if you get tired of that, just think of what Martin Luther said to his congregation when they asked him, why do you preach the gospel to us over and over and over and over again? And he said, because you forget it over and over and over and over again. And friend, I'm not saying that to belittle you. I'm saying it about myself as well. I forget the gospel. When I get discouraged, I'm forgetting the gospel. When I get depressed, I'm forgetting the gospel. When I'm worrying and anxious, I'm forgetting the gospel. When I'm afraid and fearing, I'm forgetting the gospel. When I'm not content and satisfied, I'm forgetting the gospel. When an unkind word comes out of my mouth, I'm forgetting the gospel. I, your pastor, need to be reminded over and over and over again the gospel. And that's why that handout is in your bulletin. That's why it's going to be printed on the back of the bulletin. That's why I'm going to ask you over and over again, what are those basics of the gospel? And so the gospel of Proverbs in teaching us about our words. Number one, we should see as followers of Christ, we are careful with our words. As followers of Christ, we are careful with our words. And I'm saying we are. Last week I said we ought to be. This week I'm saying we are, because if you're in Christ, that's who you are. If you're in Christ Jesus, be who you are. You're careful with your words. You're a child of the King. You're in union with Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. There's no condemnation for you. And so you're careful with your words. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. I wonder how many of you have ever met someone that you think talks too much. You meet them and you're there, and after 40 minutes you're still there and they're still talking. I wonder if you've met anyone like that. Lots of words, talking all the time. And you try to get something in, and you do for a little bit, but boom, they're back. And you just really can't get anything in. Talk, 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 talk. Well, in many words, this passage says transgression is not lacking. Why is transgression not lacking? Transgression is sin. It's another word for sin, iniquity, disobeying God, falling short of the glory of God. That's what transgression is. And this text tells us, in many words, sin is not lacking. Why is that? Well, because what we just heard from Jesus, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what does God say about our hearts? At least our unregenerate hearts. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick, who can understand it? And so because we speak what's in our heart, and because our hearts are wicked and deceitful, when you speak many words, sin is not lacking. You see? And that's why we pray. Psalm 141:3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Father, I pray you would do that in our congregation. Do that in our congregation. One commentator, Bruce Waltke, comments on this verse. He says, whoever restrains, which means exercise self-control to hold them back, is prudent because he has no confidence in himself and knows that the good and effective word is from the Lord. And so we are to restrain our lips. Restrain our lips and do it in a godly way. Do it in a godly way. When you do it, you don't have to tell people that you're doing it. Oh, I want to say something right now, but I'm not going to say it. Oh, if you knew what I wanted to say, woo! But I'm going, No, you don't have to do all that. Just restrain. He who restrains his lips is prudent, is wise. Think before you speak. You ever seen that? That I think it's called an acrostic, think, T-H-I-N-K. Think. T, is it true? Before you speak, ask the question, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? Is it encouraging? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? Is it loving? Think before you speak. And so I ask where I started, do you talk too much? It's a good thing to pray about. Lord, do I talk too much? As I think back through the conversations I have in my life with other people, you know, am I dominating the conversation or you know, is there a give and take? Am I talking too much? Ask the Lord. He'll show you. Ask, Spirit, come and show me. Convict me of this sin if I'm doing it. Show me my word. Show me if I'm speaking too much, Lord. Help me with this. We want to be people who are careful with our words. You know, I think about this when I preach. And sometimes I say things and I think during the week, I wish I hadn't said that. Or I wish I hadn't said it that way. Even last week when I was talking about the rod, and I made a comment that the text says the rod is for the back of fools. It doesn't say time out. And I thought about that. Well, you know, and I didn't really have time to go into more detail. See, I'm making excuses for myself even now. But I thought time out is a legitimate way to discipline children. There's many ways to legitimately discipline children. Time out, taking something away from them, an iPhone or an iPad or a video game. There's many legitimate ways to discipline a child. And so if you do that, don't be offended. But the Bible also says use the rod. And we'll talk about that more in the coming weeks as we get there in the Proverbs. But I thought about that last week and I said, I wish I'd have said that differently. And so we need to think about our words and what we say. Is it right? Is it helpful? Where is Christ in this proverb? Where is Christ? Christ is the only Savior from our transgressions with our many words. If you're here this morning and you speak too much, I have good news for you. There is a Savior whose name is Jesus, who always spoke many words without sin in perfect holiness and righteousness. He always thought before he spoke. He always said what is true and what is helpful and what is inspiring and what is necessary and what is loving and kind. He always did that, never sinned once with his words. And Christ is our Savior from all our failures. With our speaking and our words, he died on that cross so that we might be forgiven. There was no transgression in all of His words. He always perfectly and perpetually restrained His lips. And therefore, because we have Him as a Savior from all our failures in speaking, we have Him as a great example of how to speak. We have Him as a teacher right now in the Proverbs teaching us how to speak. And because we have Him dwelling in us, the Spirit of Christ, we're empowered to follow Christ and be careful with our words. Number two, as followers of Christ, we demonstrate our value with our words. As followers of Christ, we demonstrate our value with our words. Proverbs 10:20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. And so those who are righteous have a tongue of choice silver. Choice silver is a way of saying great value. They are greatly valued and valuable. In contrast, those who are wicked are of little value. Let me remind you again, what does it mean to be righteous? What does it mean to be righteous? Those who are righteous are those who have seen their sin, seen they've disobeyed the Lord, they've failed to live up to God's standard, they have repented of their sins, they have confessed to the Lord that they're a sinner, deserving of God's judgment, and they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross and rose from the dead. They've believed in the righteous one, they've trusted Him by faith alone, and so they get all their sins forgiven, and they get Christ's righteousness covering them as a robe, as a garment, as a coat. And so they now, because they have the Spirit of God living in them, live a righteous life. Those are the righteous. Those are the ones who have tongues of choice silver. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. It's of great value. And it's of great value because it's the heart of that person is of great value. Because everyone who has come to believe on the Lord Jesus has had a heart transplant. Did you know that? Amen. That's one reason we speak differently, is we have a new heart, and from the heart comes the words, and we have new hearts as believers. Ezekiel 36:26, God says, I will give you a new heart. That's how bad we are. We need new hearts. I will give you a new heart, and I will put within you a new spirit within you. I will put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And so, believer, your tongue is of choice silver, of value. What you speak has meaning. You're speaking the gospel. You're speaking God's word because God has put a new heart in you. And He's put His Spirit in you and empowers you to speak in a righteous way. And so you are valuable. And in contrast, the heart of the wicked, the text says, is of little value. Of little value. This phrase made me think of Romans 9:22. Where the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, speaks of vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. The wicked is of little value. They are vessels of wrath, of God's curse, of God's judgment prepared for destruction in hell forever. That's the end of the wicked. Forever and ever and ever in hell. And friend, if any of you are here this morning and you don't know Christ, you haven't repented of your sins and believed on Him, friend, in love, I tell you, you are one of the wicked who is of little value, who God will pour out wrath and judgment on for all eternity. But the good news is you can join the number of the choice silver ones. You can join the number of vessels of mercy. You can repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will be redeemed. You will be given a new heart. You will be given lips of choice silver that speak wisdom. Turn from your sin. Turn from your wickedness. Believe on Him and He will save you. Henry Scougal wrote this, "The worth and excellency of a soul is to be measured by the object of its love, the worth and excellency of a soul is to be measured by the object of its love. What is the grand object of the Christian's love? God, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, the triune God. And as you love Him more than anything, that shows the value of your soul. Oh, friend, who don't have Him as your Savior, come. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. Where is Christ in this proverb? Christ is our only Savior from the wicked, worthless heart. Friend, He's the only one who can save you. He's the only one who can forgive you. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. You cannot be saved by any other Savior. Only Christ saves. He was counted as the wicked, worthless one on the cross. He was counted as the wicked, worthless one. He who had all worth, all value, more than choice silver, more than gold, more than diamonds, more than the most valuable thing in the universe, more than all the universes, more than 10 trillion universes, He is the most worthy, and yet He was counted as the most unworthy, vile sin on the cross, that we might be forgiven, that we might be saved. And He rose. He rose. We're here on Sunday, the first day of the week, because He rose from the dead. He conquered that we might rise with Him. And so we sing songs about Him. Lord, You are more precious than silver. Lord, You are more costly than gold. Lord, You are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares with You. We sing songs, all I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world values, reveres, and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing You, Jesus, knowing You, there is no greater thing. You're my all, You're my joy, You're my righteousness, and I love You, Lord. Oh, friend, Jesus is the most valuable, and He died as our Savior. He died as our Savior from loving so many other worthless things. He lived as our example to show us what it means to treasure God above all. He lived as our teacher and teaches us now how to speak words of choice silver. And He lives in us and empowers us by His Spirit to speak words that are valuable. And therefore, as followers of Christ, we demonstrate our value with our words. Number three, as followers of Christ, we feed people with our words. As followers of Christ, we feed people with our words. Look at verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. So those who are righteous, they feed people with their words. You remember when Jesus was being tempted by the devil, He talked about feeding on God's Word. Do you remember that? Matthew 4:4. But He, Jesus, answered the devil, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." We live on God's Word. We're nourished by God's Word. Oh, that Christians would get just as cranky and out of kilter and something's wrong with my day if I skip my Bible as if they skip their meal. And the reality of it is, you may very well get just as cranky because you didn't spend that time with the Lord in His Word. We feed on the Word of God. We're nourished by the Word of God. And in a similar way, not the same way, but in a similar way, we can nourish people with our words. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Sometimes I get the question, Pastor, is it okay to cuss? I mean, it's just a word. We assign meanings to words. Can we cuss? And I take them to Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. So no, we shouldn't be a people who speak that way. We shouldn't be a people who say, "Oh my God," as an exclamation point. or use Jesus Christ as an exclamation. Oh, I don't even want to say it. It's taking the Lord's name in vain. I had a professor in the seminary. He doesn't eat at TGIFs because of that. And I'm not telling you not to eat at TGIFs, but that's just an example. He really takes the name of God seriously.
Amen.
Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fit the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Friend, think about your conversations with people. Do they build people up? Are they filled with grace? Even when you have to rebuke, friend, even when you have to rebuke for sin, never leave people without hope. Never leave people without hope. Even when you have to rebuke somebody because they're in sin, leave them with hope. There is a Savior. There is a Jesus who died and rose who can change you. Speak hope to people. Don't leave them discouraged. Grace. Give grace to all who hear. Are you feeding people with your words? Are you feeding people with your words? Do people come away from time with you, conversation with you, feeling like they just ate an amazing meal? You know how you have one of those meals and it just tastes so good and you're satisfied and it was nourishing, it was healthy, strengthened, satisfied. Think about your conversations with people. Do people come away from speaking with you feeling that way, encouraged, helped, built up, ready to conquer the world? Or do they walk away from you? Glad to get away from her. Yeah. Oh, that God would use us to feed people with our words. With our words. I guess I could ask the same question about my sermons. Friend, I hope I fill my sermons with enough Jesus. That I speak about Jesus enough that some of you get tired of me. Oh, here he goes again. Where's Jesus in the proverb? He's going to talk about Christ. Oh, friend, I want you to go away with Christ. I want you to go away with Christ. Be encouraged by Christ. Look to Christ. Where is Christ? Where is Christ? The lips of the righteous feed, but the fools die for lack of sense. Fools, in contrast, starve to death. Fools starve to death because they don't receive good instruction. They won't listen. They don't want to hear it. They know it all. They don't need to be told anything. And they starve because they have loving, godly people around them trying to nourish them with words, but they won't hear it. And so, friend, be encouraged. Those of you who speak the truth in love, some people don't get nourished because they're fools. It's not because of what you said. It's because they're foolish. They're foolish. Oh, friend, let's not be fools. Let's receive instruction. Let's be willing to change for the sake of Christ. And what is the end of all fools? They die. They die. The text says they die. Their end is death. The end of all fools is always death. Not only in this life, but in the life to come, in hell forever, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the end of fools. And friend, I'm crying out to you today, don't be a fool. Take the Savior who was counted as a fool for you and died for you in place of fools. You see, Jesus took the place of fools on the cross. He died. He's the only one who's ever lived that did not deserve to die because the wages of sin is death and he never sinned. But he died. He died on that cross in the place of fools and rose from the dead that you might be saved. Christ is the only one who can save us from dying for lack of sense because he died and rose. Christ is also our example as the perfectly righteous one. Oh, how he fed people with his words. Oh, how Jesus nourished and fed and encouraged and rebuked. I mean, that includes calling Peter Satan. One has said, when you ask the question, what would Jesus do? Remember, it includes calling one of his closest friends Satan. Remember, it includes making a whip of cords and driving out of the temple. What would Jesus do? You know, Jesus had tough love when it was there. But oh, he's tender. He's compassionate. He's loving. He fed people with his words. And therefore, since Jesus is our Savior, since He's our great example, since He's our teacher, since He dwells in us by His Spirit as followers of Christ, we feed people with our words. Number four, as followers of Christ, we speak wisdom. We speak wisdom. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. As we grow in Christ and live as followers of Jesus and grow in the knowledge of God through His Word, we speak wisdom because we have changed hearts. We do that. Friend, if you're a believer out there and you aren't speaking this way, you're not living the way God made you to live. You're living out of character. You're not a fool. You're redeemed, wise, son, daughter of the living God. And when you don't speak wise words, you're living out of character. And God's Word says to you over and over again, be who you are. Speak who you are. Live how you are, a child of the King.
Come on now.
And we learn, we grow in our ability to righteously apply knowledge, to speak wisdom. In contrast to this, we see the perverse tongue will be what? Cut off. Cut off. What is the perverse tongue? What does it mean to have a perverse tongue? Psalm 12:3 says, may the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts. So flattering lips, those who will say all kinds of nice things to people, because they're trying to manipulate them to get what they really want. That's a flattering tongue. Oh, you're so great. You're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. You're so this. You're so that. And can I really get what I really want? You see, that's a flattering tongue. A boastful tongue. A boastful tongue. The psalm speaks of boastful lips. Look how great I am. Look how wonderful I am. Boasting about yourself. Lying is a perversity. Not telling the truth. We spoke about gossip in the last few weeks. Gossiping. Talking about people behind their backs. Saying untrue things about people. Slandering people. Cursing, as we've already mentioned. Using the Lord's name in vain. Crude language. Crude jokes. Innuendo. Mocking people. Putting people down. Saying things that are unbiblical. False doctrine, false teaching, being unwise with our lips. Those are perverse words from a perverse mouth. And I simply ask you, dear beloved, are you speaking in ways that are a perversity in God's sight? Think about your mouth, your language, the things that come from your lips. Are there perversities there? If so, you're not living according to your character. You're living out of character. Either you're living out of character or you've never been born again. Either you're living out of character or you've never been born again. And the answer for both those problems is repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Trust Him. Confess your sins. Lord, I've been saying this particular phrase for 10 years of my life. And I'm listening to the pastor, and that's perversity, Lord. Forgive me for that. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? I trust in the blood of Christ to cleanse me. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and help me overcome this habit of perversity. Pray like that. Repent and believe the gospel and know that you're forgiven. Know that you're forgiven. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the punishment for those who have a perverse tongue is a strong punishment. What does the text say? Cut off. Cut off. What does that mean? It means that you're cut off from the community and receive God's punishment. Cut off from the community and receive God's punishment. Motivation to turn from a perverse mouth. And where is Christ? I wonder if that language, cut off, means anything to you. I want it to. When you hear the phrase cut off, I want you to think of Christ. I want you to think of Isaiah 53:8. He was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. I want you to think of Daniel 9:26. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off and shall have nothing. You see, Jesus, the perfectly wise one who always and only brought forth wisdom, was counted as having a perverse tongue, and He was cut off on that cross for sinners and raised, conquering all perversity for all eternity. He is our Savior. He is our wisdom. He always spoke perfectly. Listen to Him. That's why we're reading the Gospel of John in public worship. We want to listen to Jesus. See what He says. See how He talks to people. And learn from His as our example. And therefore, because He's our great Savior, because He's our great example, because He's teaching us through the Proverbs, and because He dwells in us by His Spirit to empower us to obey, therefore, as followers of Christ, we speak wisdom. And finally, number 5, as followers of Christ, we speak in ways that please God and please other people. As followers of Christ, we speak in ways that please God and please other people. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. One commentator, Longman, comments on this: what the wise say is appropriate for the circumstances and will win the approval of God and other wise people. So those of us who've been captivated by Christ, saved by Christ, filled with the Spirit of God, we speak words that are acceptable, that are pleasing to God and others. It's an evidence that we've met God. We've been born again. We listen and obey Ephesians chapter 5, which says this. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, and 4 through 5, and 8 through 10. Therefore, be imitators of God. Amen. As beloved children, and walk in love. Walk in love with your words. What if you thought before you spoke, is what I'm about to say loving? Would I invite God to be with me, to hear this conversation, to read this email, to read this text? Am I living before the face of God with my words? Imitate God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Did you hear that? In disciples of Christ's mouths, there should be no filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking. They're out of place for you. You see what I mean by you're walking out of character when you speak that way? That they're out of place for the believer. But rather, instead, let there be thanksgiving. Oh, I want us to be a congregation of thanksgiving. Think about the things to be thankful for. Speak words of thanksgiving often. Thankful for the Women's Missionary Society that met yesterday and made all those bags to give out and help those in need. Thankful for Michael Osborne as a deacon. Thankful for a Storm and Michael and Phyllis and Chris Lana and Deacon Joseph, who are Sunday school teachers. Thankful for Juan Jose and J.C. Jones, interns, preaching and teaching us. Thankful that we can see and hear and breathe and have a place to meet. Thankful. God says, let us be people full of thanksgiving. Amen. How often do you speak words of thanks to others? Oh, friends, look at Jesus' beautiful mouth. Look at Jesus' beautiful mouth, who always and only spoke what is acceptable, who won the approval of His Father always, perfectly. Look at Jesus' beautiful words. All that He said, always perfect, always pleasing, as the Father pronounced on Him, "This is My Son, My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He always and only spoke what the Father told Him to speak. Perfectly spoke. Righteous. And yet, this beautiful mouth, this mouth of all mouths, who spoke words of all words, He was condemned. He was crucified for sinners and rose that we might have mouths full of words acceptable to God and pleasing to other people. And therefore, since Jesus is our great Savior, since He is our great example, since He's our teacher, and since He indwells us by His Spirit, therefore, as followers of Christ, we speak in ways that please God and please others. Christ's words were numbered, prudent wise, in shape and volume, perfect size, far more than gold and silver prize. Cut off, forsaken, yet He'd rise and feed with words endless supplies. So on His beauty, fix your eyes. And as you fix your eyes on His beauty, go forth and speak words pleasing to God and helpful, humble, and loving to others. Let's pray together. Father, we want to be changed. Lord, we don't want to sit here and think this is really good for this person to hear and that other person to hear. God, cut us to the heart. Lord, cut us to the heart that we need this. I need this. We need to change. We need to change in our hearts and change in our words. We need to grow in giving of thanks, grow in love, grow in humility, grow in the ability to encourage and give hope to people with our words. And so, God, we beg You to come and by Your Spirit make us a people who follow Christ and speak in ways that are pleasing to You and help other people. Help us to speak in ways that please You. Help us to speak wisdom, Lord. Help us to feed people with our words. Help us to be a people who demonstrate our value with our words. And help us to be careful with our words and give You glory, we ask. Because we have a great Savior, because we have a great example, because we have a great teacher, and because, Lord, You dwell in us. Oh God, change our hearts, change our mouths, and may we speak what is pleasing in Your sight always. For Jesus' sake, amen.